Greetings to you. I know it's been a busy weekend for our youth. They had and the families here. But you know what? It's precious this morning as I've seen each family walk through the doors. It's good to be together again. Because we're together to seek the Lord this morning. We're together to sing praises. We're together for each other. And there is a love flowing in our midst that brings us together that we should give God the honor and glory for and respect for. There is a love that goes deeper than any love that humans can muster up in their organizations and in their meeting places, in the army or wherever they are. They have a certain limited love for each other, but when somebody treads over where you stand, you struggle. This morning is called the agape love, the divine love of God that has been in your hearts for some of you a short time, some of you a long time, and you have not allowed that flame of love to go out. It's under that love, under God. God is love that we have gathered this morning. Don't let Satan make you think that there is no love for you. That's his tactic. One of the very much intactive, nobody loves me. Truly, God cannot do anything else except love. He has nothing in him. He can't do you evil because there is not a source, there is not a speck of evil in him. He is love. God is love. Very, very much a morning here this morning. I woke up and I had an object lesson. I was looking for the object. I just seemingly couldn't find the object. Time was going on. I found an object, but it didn't suit me. Then I wanted to look for a song. And we went through the song books, Miriam and I, and we're looking for titles. No, I don't think the song's in the book that I'm looking for. So there was a moment this morning that I just had to stop and just pray that the Lord would bring me peace. And that's my prayer for you this morning, that we could sit here and find peace and rest, and like Steve shared, find the secret for our souls. You've been through a week just like I have, and the Christian walk of life is a real life. As we go through a week, you start a weekend. Your prayers are that you would be a light and instrument to those you meet. And the other week, I was going through life. And I wanted to share with you that I'm on a potter's wheel, and so are you this morning. God is wanting to shape you. And I was on the potter's wheel, and it was spinning pretty fast. Things were coming my way, and things were being shaped for about 4 days or so. And all at once, I kind of busted. And I felt like a failure. I did some things that I would not do to you as Christians. I said some words that shouldn't have came out of a Christian's life. You might think I was cussing. Not really. There was a tinge behind the words I shared that was a little bit irked, I guess we would call it. I'm just sharing this with you. I am in the wheel, on the wheel, and God is shaping. And He had an area that He would like to shape some more. And so I'm in it, and there was a time when you feel discouraged, like Steve said. There's times when you're dry. I just came out of one of those, and I still may be in. It's real life for me. I'm not always in a dry life. But I would assume you find it somewhat similar because you're Christians. But there is a secret that I'm going to speak about today. Some of us may be proud. I speak that a lot when I share. Some of us may be discouraged. Some of us may feel like it's failure. Some of us may feel we need direction in a bad way. And some of us may still be wondering what is there in life for me? And so we'll begin. I'm going to title the message later. I'm going to use a song to kind of bring in. Stephen, if you want a page there, it's a song, was it 905? The message the Lord gave me is kind of parallel with this song. So if you go in the same book you were singing in, the Christian Hymnary, let's page to 905, and I'll let the word speak for itself, and I'll just remain silent here. We're going to sing verse 1, and then the middle verse, and the last verse, if you don't mind. But consider all the verses, it's just for the sake of time. And also, Mark came to me yesterday evening. He said, "Brother, if you feel like you need more time, don't be afraid to take it." And last evening, I didn't think I would need extra time, but today I do, this morning now. So Martis and I have come to a place where he's totally fine. He's glad, and I'm glad that I can have it. I'm sharing this so that you don't get uptight if it's a couple minutes past my time. Just, it takes away from the word if we have that feeling. So go ahead and lead the song.
Have you heard about the stone that was hewed out of the mountain? Have you heard about the stone that came rolling through Babylon? Have you heard about the stone that was hewed out of the mountain?
Say amen to the last verse. But the title of my message this morning is Jesus Precious to You. And that's the title and the heart of the message, all in one. There's other words here that we could knowledge be the stone? And could culture be the stone? And we all know this morning, without a doubt, none of them was a stone. It was Jesus. The reason we know that is because we have a testimony within our hearts. We were without this stone in our life. We knew and we heard about this stone in my younger years. And there was times where I would wonder about, what about Jesus? Why do people make so much issue about Christ Jesus, the very person that I needed to know and did not know? I would pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," and I would connect with the Father, but the Son. But today, it is a total different story for me and you as well. Jesus is the most precious treasure that I've ever found. So this morning, as we get together here, I want to share with the songs that we sang this morning. It just brought courage to me. We sang the song, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. And I was thinking as you were singing, I had these messages, not these notes, not all together. I know you believe these things, and I know your desire is to be clear near to the cross. Then we sang another song. I didn't write them all down. Next song was, Jesus Satisfies My Longings, and Hallelujah, I Have Found Him. Title again is, Jesus Precious to You. If you have found Him, He is precious. The next song, one of the next songs we sang, I wrote them down, a few of them, Hallelujah, What a Savior. All pointing to this rock that came rolling out of the mountain in Babylon as a type and a figure of Christ. As most of you know, we were not here one Sunday, here 2 weeks ago, I think it was. We were out in the mountains out there in Canada, up in Banff National Park, in the mountains out there are pretty well so steep. If you wanted to get to the top of the mountain, I would say the only way up there would be with a rope and mountain climbing. It's the sheer walls. But as we were going up through the valley, I noticed there was a train track, one road, sometimes a trail, no power lines, and a river. And humans and animals, all in the valleys. There's not much else. Scenery and God's creation. I told Miriam, I think Matthew, one of us, I don't know who all was with me there, I said there's something about being in God's creation that brings a person to a certain extent of peace, whether he knows God or not. It's just being out there in creation where God created you to be in the Garden of Eden. But you won't ever get that there without knowing this rock that was hewn out of the mountain. So this morning, as I was going up through the river there, or along the river, along the train track, I've noticed that across the road was a distance from this mountain. Across the road, there was these big boulders, the size of, well, one of them was probably the size of the pulpit, or big. And I was looking at that rock, and I knew it was not originally there at one point. It was all sandy in the creek bottom, and it looked literally like these stones, there was a few sprinkled here and there along the valley, they had come tumbling out of the mountain. Then as I go, as a man thinks, he thinks, well, now, is that stone round enough to roll? And I started looking at the stones, and they were pretty well, not round like you would see a round, but they were basically round enough to pick up feet from on the top of those mountains and roll in. I'm sharing that with you today. There is a stone that has rolled into this world that will never leave. And we can read about it in Daniel. And we'll go there. If you want a page there, you can. If not, that's okay. But it's a stone that was... Daniel. This king had a dream. Daniel was praying to the Lord that he would reveal the dream to him. And then Daniel said, Thou sawest till that day in... Daniel 2:34, Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold and the pieces together, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. I have decided, I was looking for a ball that was white, pure, represents Christ. Christ is indescribable, and I want you to realize that this is very short of what He is. The song that Sim Yoder sang this morning shared that God is so big that He's everywhere, but yet so small that He's within. And I just appreciated that song because that is the way the Lord is. He is everywhere. And that is the mountain that we can read about here in Daniel. And be filled the whole earth, the kingdom of God. And in verse 44 of Daniel 2, And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to the other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The reason I gather these verses is that you in your hearts and I in my heart would realize that this kingdom is established And no kingdom on this earth can overthrow this kingdom. There is a darkness, a kingdom of darkness and persecution and things, but it is established. God's word says so, and I know by knowing God and his kingdom long enough since I've walked with him that I know his kingdom is not ever rotating and ever moving. Well, to some extent, God comes close. If you draw to him, he'll come meet you. But it's not a kingdom that is always different. It's settled, stable, solid, like a rock. That is the first part in each Christian's life that we must come to, is to realize that God's word will never change. And it will not. From all the years that I know in God, it never changed. So there was a stone that came rolling down. It was Jesus. Yes, it was, is what we sang. Jesus was that rock. Now, that rock will either fall on you as an unconverted sinner and crush you and grind you to powder like it did the image, if you are your own self-image. But if you are building upon the rock and your convictions and your words, the Bible, the scripture we read, speaks about this secret, the rock, Jesus Christ. He speaks about it. In him, you can find him. In the scriptures. But I want us to realize, is Jesus precious to you? And I feel another thing that we want to talk about and look in this morning is the preciousness of it to you, because it hinges so much on that. We can know that Christ is solid, he's unmovable, and that he's sure, and he's full of truth, mercy, peace. But what matters the most, are you willing to take him as your Lord and Savior personally? There can be much preaching. There can be much your forefathers did for you. But the really matters, if you're guiding your life's decisions, your choices, your responses, your attitudes, and measure it with the measuring stick that is solid. Take it and apply it to your heart. I have a note here that he was the same rock that Moses, the children of Israel, they were a congregation way much larger than us. They were in need. They had a need in their midst, and it was water. They were without water. I don't know how many days Bible reader people may know, but they were in dire need of water. And God told Moses to strike the rock. And when Moses struck the rock, there was water came out of the rock. And that is the same rock that we're speaking about today. It was Jesus. Yes, it was. It was him that supplied all their need. So as we go on here, I have another scripture reference. My main core of the message is not quite out yet. So we'll read this scripture, then I'll try to bring out what the Lord has on my heart. We as a family are reading through John 3 and ready for chapter 4. Latter part of St. John 3, I'm going to read a few things here that caught my attention. It's kind of where the message was born from. I'm going to start in 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy is therefore fulfilled. I'll stop there for a little bit. John was prophesying of this rock that was going to be coming into our midst, Christ Jesus. And when he heard his voice, he was rejoicing, and he says his joy thereof was fulfilled. And that is also for a saint. As we gather here this morning, one of the best things rejoicing in our life is when someone who did not know the Lord gets to know the Lord. It's just joy. It's the same joy that John said when he heard Jesus. It's Jesus at work in our midst. When we hear of a young one repenting and coming to the Lord and seeing a need of him, there's no greater joy. And that's a similar thing of what John was experiencing by hearing Jesus' preaching and seeing that he was increasing
And then he shared in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's so much us Christians. As we go through life, I must decrease and he must increase within me. So a lot of times the enemy wants to try to make us aware, oh, you've fallen, Nelson. You remember that time back there, which I just shared to you about the incidents there God was working in my life. The first thought was I felt bad. I felt like unworthy. I was not a good example. I failed. But the truth of the matter is, what is your core heart's desire? My core heart's desire is that Christ would have more of his image and I would have less of mine. It hinges a lot on that. So if you have inside of you a strong desire to be a disciple of Christ and you fall, there's hope for you. But if you fall and you love it, there's no hope for somebody like that. Going on with the message here, I need to keep going. I see you're ready that I'm going to take a few Mark's minutes here, which he's okay with, but I don't want to weary you. I need to go to verse 33 because that's where this message was kind of born. And I'm still not quite sure if I know all about this verse, and I'm open about correction. But I stopped on that verse and I just meditated. And so in 30 is where I am. He must increase, but I must decrease. And he that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthy, speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all, which was Christ and those that are born again. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. Right here is the verse. So in my heart, I have come to a place to realize that God's true. His truth that he teaches in the Bible, especially if we, as a Bible study group, we were going through Matthew, the teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are ye when you do this. Blessed are ye when you do this. And when you do these things, blessed are ye. It is truth. It comes to pass. So in here in verse 33, he's saying, he that receiveth his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. And by studying into this a little bit with commentaries and things, they would say in the days of old, when somebody agreed to the statement, they would take, especially those in leadership, they would take imprint, and their paper was of wax. You know, they didn't have this nice paper that we had. And they would agree to it with the stamping of sealing it with their own signature and seal. So in our hearts as Christians, that is one vital part that we don't want to miss. Because if we have yet some doubts in us that Jesus Christ is not all that he says he is, seek, start believing. And you will see that his words are true. He is full of truth. There is no untruth. He is truth. And that's such a vital part of our life. And I was just lifting that up. If you have yet not done that in your life, as a young child or as an older person, lay aside everything else and start looking to Christ as your only hope. It is time to do that sometime. I would encourage you to do it now. I don't like the idea of waiting, to be honest. I know the Lord is timely. In my life, when I failed him, the reminders that he sends me are pretty quick. And the Holy Spirit-led convictions that come after I failed him are right there, real quick. I have a story that I'm going to share with you, young ones, before I take my seat then, that also verifies what I'm sharing with you. God deals with rebellion against him pretty quickly. He deals with it. I've witnessed it. So as we put Christ in our midst, there's different areas that we need him. For instance, I was a younger years. I was a strong man, which you know I've got a big build of a body. And I want to just share with you where some of my trials were at in the youth years. I was actually to the point where muscles, quickness, and you know, I was a proud man, basically. But like in a volleyball game, I know you had just played it, and I'm sharing these things. I'm going to speak in a lower level, not so many fancy scripture verses. I'm mainly speaking to you youth that you would find Christ precious, and us older ones to continue keeping Christ precious. But in my younger years, I would really glory in my own strength. I would go home from volleyball games and singings and things with the thought and thinking about how well that I did. I did well. And I wanted to do more of it, to be seen. If you really get to the core of everything, the body I'm living in, I didn't have a thing to do with. To be honest, I can't even grow hair on my head. And you need to come to that. The very body that your soul is living in, you had no part to do with. And to this day, I regret that I was a proudful man. But I was, and I was wanting, you know, to be somebody. I would like try to be speaking good things to the people I wanted to speak good to. Then I was around the wrong group of people, I would become like them, very much that way. My wife helped me out through all that a lot. But I was needing Christ in the worst way. Say, the proud man is kind of up here, and he sees Christ. Christ speaks, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Come unto me, and I will give you rest." But I did not want to go down there and confess my sin and my need of him. And that is for a proud person. He's a needful drawing. If you're proud this morning and you feel yourself a very confident man, not relying on God, humble yourself, bring yourself down. That is speaking. Christ is full of mercy on that area right here where I'm at. He is speaking to me from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit speaks to your heart, says, repent, you're proud. Allow it to speak. It's the connection. It's kind of like the sun ray. When you go out in the sun, you can feel the rays, but you can't really see it. That's how the Holy Spirit works. If it's touching your heart in the area right there, I had a desire to be rich. God had to deal hard on that area. But unless we humble ourselves, we can't get close. And I'm going to share about another area in life where the enemy has a lot of people, and that is in condemnation. Let's go there for a little bit. To somebody who's been hurt, who has been misused, I don't know what all else can put in there. You know where you're struggling at, and my prayer would be the Lord would be speaking to you. But if you're feeling like unworthy, nobody loves me. We sang the song. I had it written down here. We sang the song this morning. Lift me up above the shadows. You know, he's speaking that. That part of Christ is ministering to your need. It's not ministering. He's not saying, lift me up above the shadows to the high-minded one. But he's asking you to come. And he will lift you up above the shadows. I've seen him do that in my own life. I have a need for him. Because if I don't, I'll be in the shadows or high-minded or wherever. This side of Christ, let's say way out there. In the hallway, there's this man that have never known Jesus. But he sees him from a distance. But I'm not going in that hall. Brother or sister, whoever you are, you will need to go there. That's your only source. Remember, this stone is in our midst. And we need to make a choice. He will make it for you, or you will need to make a choice. My encouragement to you is if you're still a ways off from knowing him, you can only see this side of it. This side is saying, come. The church is saying, come. The Spirit says, come. That's what you'll be hearing. Because that's what the Holy Spirit, the ray that is going out from Christ, is come. It's also come for the proud. It's come for the lowly. All of it's come. The reason it's come is because there's true love. There's no hate in him. The reason he wants you to come home is because there's love. It's not a source of commands. It's not a source. Love, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So there are commands. I'm wrong there. But the Spirit that you'll be seeing will be that. It'll be, I'm just saying, that's the Holy Spirit's calling on an unrepentant heart is come. And I will show you all things. It says so when he sends the Spirit, I will show you all things. Christ, is Jesus precious to you? Do you need him? I would say you would all say amen. Relationships, I have to go through what the Lord laid on my heart. So relationships are kind of we relate from brotherhood back and forth. So we have this brother that's a little bit like Nelson, that says words pretty quickly, and he doesn't think before he speaks. And he's speaking to this brother or sister over here and has no intentions of hurting his feelings. Or maybe he does have low intentions. He has wrong attitude. I'm speaking about relating in a church body. The spirit on this side is sharing, Nelson, the words that you said were all right, but the way you said them with the extra, without love. See, the spirit always connects with love. But when we relate with each other, we fail each other. We don't always speak with grace and the spirit that God would like for us to. So out of this side of Christ, we need him, because out of his flows, Nelson, you said everything right, but you should go apologize to the sister or brother over here. Usually brothers, I don't relate so much with the ladies. But there is a needful place in Christ that will reflect his ray to you and share with you. In the meanwhile, this one over mirror may have gotten offended, and he speaks forgiveness. So the same Christ speaks the very need that your heart needs, is the picture I'm getting. See, if you notice, there's no beginning, there's no end to this Christ. There's no sharp corners. It's a softness and gentleness flowing out of him. I know this is kind of a poor excuse of Christ, but we need to use sometimes a physical example so that we can spiritually see the example of Christ. So as you relate one with another and you feel the Spirit talking to each other, this can be in young children to the oldest one here, heed to the voice that comes from God. It'll draw you close. It's okay to go say, so-and-so, I'm sorry. I actually did it with the wrong intent or wrong whatever. Be truthful. And the other one, I forgive you. But if there's no forgiveness, and then that side is not working. So do we need Christ? Is Christ precious? Also another one that I wanted to not miss. There's so much that flows out of this Christ. I can only scratch the surface a little bit. When I wrote this one down, I had to think of the passing of Brother Chris. And I had to think, I've never experienced a parent passing. I have experienced my grandparents passing, or not a close related loved one passing right out of my midst. Some of you have that experience, and you would be able to speak more on this side of Christ. But there is a mercy and a sorrow. He said, comfort. I mean, if you have sorrow in your heart, there is a comfort that flows from God that will outdo any comfort that you will find anywhere else in this world. Just rest in the comfort that he has for you. I don't have a lot more on that, but there is a place to go with your grieving, your sorrow, and he will minister that need. Do we need Christ? Yes. I've got to keep going here. So what we have here is the burden of my heart was, of God's heart, was that we would impress on our hearts and seal it in our hearts that, yes, we need Christ and keep him precious in our midst. To the fallen, the one who have fell into sin, there is mercy flowing out for those that repent. Mercy, new every day. One other area that I wanted to share about is that you have not seen this side of Christ. There is an area of Christ that we haven't seen yet, and that will be in eternity. We will see him face to face. We will see him like never before. And you know what we'll be doing in eternity? You're kind of on this side, and that side. And he's ministering to the very need of your heart. But on this side, once you're in eternity, you will gaze upon him and you'll praise him while the ages shall roll. And I'll keep on praising him. Because if it wouldn't have been for the rock that had fallen down in our midst, Christ Jesus, and was lifted up as Moses was lifted up in the wilderness, there would be no hope for any one of us. So you will either be in eternity looking at Christ, rejoicing in the goodness and rejoicing that you made the decision to serve him and him only. I'm putting that in there. You cannot serve two masters. We know all kinds of scriptures. But the eternity that we'll spend will be worth the warfare that we walk through week after week, day after day here in this life. So remember that, young ones and older ones that have not yet Christ as the very precious part of their lives. That will determine your destination. What you hold precious in life will determine your destination. The walk of a Christian life, the narrow road, the life of non-resistance, the life of dying to self is a low road and is a hurtful road. But it's by far the best road. There's thorns along the way, but there's encouragement along the way because there's a spirit that ministers to our needs. Sometimes it seems very dark. You wait a couple days, maybe a couple hours, and you're just praying, Lord, what should I do with this situation? There is light at the end of the tunnel, brothers. I've experienced it in my walk with him, and there is victory. And there is a growing connection between him and I. Eternity hinges on if you have Jesus precious or not. That's the main message, main core of this message. At the end here, I'm going to share with you the saddening effect of a young man who was my cousin. I was just new converted, and I heard my Uncle Levi, which was my dad's oldest brother. My dad's side of the family were I appreciate them. They're zealous in what they believe. And he was teaching Mark, who's my cousin, and trying to raise him. It was his last son. And I heard it's not going well in their home. I had a distance from Kentucky. He was down in Kentucky. I was in Indiana. And we don't have phones. They didn't have any. I had. But there was no phone. But when parents would come visiting, they would share these trying things with the children of what the extended family is going through. And that love needs to be in our midst, that we care about it. And it was not a boastful way of sharing, but he said, Levi's really struggling with Mark. I said, not really. Our dad told me, I think. He said, Mark made the comment. This was a young man, probably, I don't know his age. He was 20, probably, 18 to 20. This was what he believed, and he stamped his seal by his life experience. He decided what he believes is what he's going to do. That's what he did. I was converted, and I heard the statement that he made and what he's going to do. And I heard he came to Indiana, to northern Indiana, to somewhere, and I started praying, Lord, if you want me to, let me go there and show the treasure I have found, Christ, the answer for our life, the only one that will be a peace-giving person. I found him whom my soul so long have yearned. I need to share this story quickly and let Mark and Isaiah have their turn. But he came to Indiana and it didn't happen that I met him. But the statement that he was making to his dad was, if I have three things, that's all I need to get through life. Children, the enemy wants you to look away from him on other things. Doesn't matter. He does not care. For me, it was sports and rich, or not sports maybe, but just muscle and high, be seen high of men. Haughty. I'd rather have that than him. You have to lay down something in your life. You will probably need to. But anyway, the three things I'm going to mention to you, there's different things that's enemy, but the three things the enemy was telling him, if he would have a car, we were horse and buggy, and they were too. And if I would have a wallet with some money in it and a cell phone, those three things is all I need to take through life. And he did it. He left home, rebelling against his dad. And I don't know if we prayed enough. I know we had a time of prayer like we do sometimes when the thing is new. We pray extremely hard. Weeks went by and we kind of drop off praying. It's a sad thing, but we are failing creatures. And a couple My wife and I talked to this morning. We don't think it was more than a year and a half later we heard that he's extremely sick and he's calling his family out. And he had found himself in somewhere, I think he got it into drugs, and he was dying. And before they got there, he died. Young man. I'm sharing with you, never married. The Lord did not tarry long with such a rebellious spirit with him. And to this day, God is long-suffering. He is merciful. He's full of that. But I have to be honest, because I love him. He also says, I will not always be. There will be a time coming where I said, time is no more. We don't know, brothers and sisters, children, older ones. We don't know when that time is. We can't say, as born-again believers, what time it is. The message for us to share with you, coming from our hearts, are you calling Jesus precious? Are you ready when that moment comes? This is coming from God, not from our own strength. It's because I was there and I found him. It's because your mom and dad were there and they found him. They can't go astray. They can't live for the world, even if you want to, because they said, Jesus, I'm yours. I want you to be my potter and my clay. Young man died. And parents were sorrowful, and to this day yet, sad. Hope you got my heart. If there's any questions, there's a secret in Jesus, and that is by keeping him precious. He's the very source of your eternal life now and for eternity. Lord bless all of you.